Donald Trump's tax return leaked.
It leaves plenty unanswered.
Growing opposition to the health care plan.
There's just too many who are against it.
As the Northeast digs out, so do the airlines.
They're not planning to resume full service until closer to noon.
Good morning, I'm Peter King with a CBS World News Roundup. Americans have gotten their first look at a Donald Trump tax return, two pages from 2005 that were leaked to a reporter who went public with it last night. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy is live at the White House with details and the fallout.
Well, there's really not a lot here, Peter. It's the first two pages of Mr. Trump's 2005 1040, showing that year he paid $38 million in taxes on $150 million in income. Confirming those details, the White House says the leak violates the law, while illustrating that the president had a substantial income and paid no more taxes than required. The two pages were dropped into the mailbox of investigative reporter David K. Johnston, who shared them last night on MSNBC.
Let me point out, it's entirely possible that Donald sent this to me.
On Twitter this morning, the president calls Johnston a reporter nobody ever heard of and says the tax return story is fake news. Political analyst Larry Sabato notes there's plenty we haven't learned here.
It doesn't tell you about the specific investments and tax dodges and all the rest that any very wealthy person is probably going to have.
So many of the president's detractors will find this unsatisfying. Peter?
Mr. Trump heads to Detroit today, where he's expected to announce a review of fuel economy standards for the auto industry. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert is there.
Today's decision doesn't change any fuel economy rules. It simply reopens a review that was halted on January 12th. The White House says the Obama administration short-circuited the process by ending that review early. Car makers are concerned that low gas prices will make it hard to get consumers to buy fuel-efficient vehicles.
Republican leadership continues to push for the president's proposed Obamacare replacement plan, but on Capitol Hill, more Republicans are lining up against it. We get more on that from CBS's Nancy Cordes.
House Speaker Paul Ryan said everything is going according to plan.
I feel like we're in a good place, but of course we want to listen to our members.
But Congressman Kevin Brady, whose committee approved the bill last week, said GOP leaders are looking at tweaking the bill's tax credits after the CBO determined that older, low-income Americans could see their premium costs spike by 750%, from $1,700 a year to nearly $15,000. Some House Republicans aren't waiting to see what he comes up with. Florida's Ileana Rose-Leighton announced Tuesday, "I have decided to vote no on the bill. Too many of my constituents will lose insurance." Virginia's Rob Whitman announced his no vote on Facebook, saying, "I do not think this bill will do what is necessary for the short and long-term best interests of Virginians."
The president's travel ban gets two more court tests today. Here's CBS's Steve Dorsey.
It's a last-ditch effort in two states to stop the revised travel ban before it's set to take effect tomorrow. A judge in Hawaii will hear a request from the state for a temporary restraining order on the ban. It's got the support of several other states. In Maryland, refugee aid groups are challenging the ban in court.
Sex parties, a man called Fat Leonard, and millions of dollars. It all sounds like a movie plot, but it's really part of a bribery scandal involving a Malaysian defense contractor and naval officers. Retired Admiral Bruce Loveless has been arrested. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland says the Navy is worried about where this all leads.
These officers were receiving the services of prostitutes, lavish meals, and fancy trips for an exchange for their services. It also appears they were providing Leonard with classified information on the movement of Navy ships in the Pacific, which obviously facilitated and helped his particular business.
The Northeast digs out. Snowblowers, shovels, and plows are all working overtime after the nor'easter that dumped as much as 2 feet of snow in some areas. CBS's David Begno is in Albany, New York.
More than 20 inches of snow. It's waist deep in some areas, knee deep here at the Capitol. Sure looks pretty. It's been miserable, but we haven't heard of any deaths in this area. One concern this morning, the wind chill. It's -6.
Those sub-freezing temperatures could mean icy sidewalks and roadways, not to mention runways. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve is at New York's LaGuardia Airport.
Crews have been working around the clock overnight trying to get operations to resemble normal. Bulldozers were used to clear runways and taxiways of more than 7 inches of snow. This morning, they're also bracing for another problem here. Massive traffic jams as stranded flyers return to rebook and catch new flights.
FlightAware.com says just over 1,000 flights are canceled this morning. Usually, an election in the Netherlands wouldn't create much buzz outside the country, but today's voting has major implications for populist candidates across Europe. CBS's Vicky Barker has more live from the Foreign Desk in London.
Dutch voters casting ballots that just might elect this man.
The Netherlands have become a sick country.
Far-right populist candidate Geert Wilders, convicted last year of hate speech against Muslim immigrants. But this supporter says it's not racism to expect immigrants to accept Dutch liberal social values.
It's our tradition, our culture, and when you want to live here, you have to respect it.
This one day after the European Court of Justice ruled private employers are allowed to ban the headscarf. Win or lose, the issues Wilders raises will outlast today's vote. Peter.
The Federal Reserve is expected to raise short-term interest rates when it meets today, the third rate hike in 15 months. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Well, over the past few years, when talk about a Fed rate hike would spook the stock market, this time around, investors are more secure that the economy's doing well enough to withstand the quarter-point increase. But just remember, if the central bank is forced to raise rates faster than anticipated, stock investors could be in for a bumpy ride.
Radio or TV live shots from somebody's home? Well, not without risk. And you may have seen the clip of college professor Robert Kelly live on the BBC when his young daughter paraded into the room followed by a baby son, both doing what kids do. And now Kelly is talking about it.
I was just hoping that my wife would eventually see it and maybe find some way to sort of run them out of the room. But once my son came in the little roller, then there was nothing I could do. I was just hoping you guys might cut it on your end, and I was just sort of maintaining a straight face, hoping to get through it.
He says the social media response was stressful, but he's thankful for the support his family's received after an all-too-human moment. The Iditarod dog sled race has its oldest winner ever. We get more on that from reporter Carrie Anderson in Anchorage.
This year's Iditarod was a duel between father and son, with the old man coming out on top. 57-year-old Mitch Seavey claimed his third Iditarod victory as he crossed the finish line just ahead of his son, 30-year-old Dallas Seavey, a four-time Iditarod champ. In a race where mushers and their dog teams braved bitter sub-zero cold on long stretches of the Yukon River, the elder Seavey reached the gold rush town of Nome in just under 8 days and 4 hours. Carrie Anderson for CBS News. Anchorage.
A Lakeland, Florida homeowner is suing the company he says built his house over former phosphate mine slag without warning him about health hazards. He says the property has high levels of radiation and other contamination. He wants money for damages and medical care. And that's the World News Roundup for Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. I'm Peter King, CBS News.